And the national news picked it up and they put it at the end of this report. And of course, they got her name wrong. Fucking media.
Bullshit. That is total bullshit. My wife was in the local news.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they interviewed her. Some kids function at her school. The local news covered it like in one of their segments. She was funny. But in other news, I'm no longer I've resigned from my position of much prominence of the HOA president of my
congratulations. Congratulations on a more peaceful life.
Well, wasn't that bad. I was concerned that no one would, you know, you can only do it for a few years, and I was coming to the end of my term anyway.
Term limits?
Yeah, because, you know, graft and all the stuff that comes with, you know, absolute power, corrupting absolutely, and all that fun stuff. But anyway, some people stepped up, and it was nice, and now I'm absolved of any. I even have less responsibility than before, which I didn't have much before. Was.
Will you get pardoned for your political crimes?
They're just going to try to impeach me. I don't know.
You didn't take secure documents home, did you?
Well, what's funny is I was supposed to mail in the tax returns like 2-3 months ago, and I forgot all about it. And, the lady who's our like accountant was like, "Hey, did you ever do that?" And I'm like, "Oh yeah, I took care of that." And then I hurried up and printed them off and ran over to the post office.
I wonder what the classified documents of the homeowners association in your neighborhood contain.
Fuck, man, I mean,
top secret.
TMZ, you know, offered me lots of money for that shit. P-tapes, all kinds
man,
of stuff.
When I was a reporter long time ago, early in my career, there was a big scandal at the Army base that I used to cover. And Inside Edition came up, and they were trying to get the tape, the videotape, that was at the heart of this scandal. And they kept taking me out to dinner and to lunch, trying to wine and dine me for me to turn it over. But I never told them that I didn't have it. So I just kept letting them take me out. And then I finally told them, like, yeah, I don't even have it, man. Then they stopped talking to me.
I heard that's like what, that's actually pretty common. I read some goofy book about it. I don't even know if it's true, but it sounded funny. But like spies and secret agents, like they'll fuck off and not do any work and then make up a bunch of shit just to get paid.
I don't know. I mean, this wasn't this actually happened because like 6 Army officers ended up getting.
No, but I'm talking about like what you were doing. Like, oh yeah, I got the tape. Yeah. Take me out drinking again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, why not? Why not? Right?
I mean, you know, as a sales guy, like, especially in my industry, as long as you did you made your numbers, you know, we could pretty much do what we wanted. Like, we weren't managed by a boss. Right. But if you really didn't do your job or you suck, they'd figure it out and get rid of you.
Yeah.
That said, you know, if you had a good territory and you were smart enough, you could fuck off quite a bit and not do any real work for a while. Yeah. As long as every once in a while you got off your ass and did your work.
Yeah, I've had jobs like that. Those are like the best jobs because those are the jobs you kind of get when you're on top of your game, you know. Because when you know, as a professional, whatever you are, you know, when it's time to get serious and when you have time to, you know, enjoy yourself. And I don't know, my attitude always was if you get your work done and you do it well, that's what counts.
I played a game for a period of time bunch of years ago. You know how like quiet quitting is like a thing now? So I guess I was like in the forefront of that because I would see how long I could hide out without like having to actually talk to anyone on the phone or go meet with them. And what I mean by that is like I would sit in a parking lot by a Starbucks and get on their Wi-Fi. And I would just email people all day. So it appeared like I was really doing my job. And there's times I'd be sitting in my car, like, drinking.
Well, there's
It's really bad.
But it's good. Yeah, I mean, it's weird. Because I was a journalist for so long, I was really good under deadline pressure. But if I didn't have a deadline hanging over my head, and a lot of times if you were working on like a project or an investigative piece, you wouldn't have a deadline. And I was the worst project reporter in the history of journalism because I just could not, you know, I could not move unless I had that deadline hanging over my head. And being kind of coming up that way and learning, that was like the environment I learned in when I got out of college. And that kind of thing carried over to everything else I've done in life. You know, I have to feel the pressure of, you know, the deadline or else.
Yeah, there's something good about it, too, because like I know what you're talking about. I just have to do these quarterly business reviews and we would get a template, you know, with like 2 months before it was you actually had to do it. And I would wait. And every time I got the new template, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to get on it this time. I'm going to get it early, get the numbers in there, get my story down. And I would always, the last 2 days before it was due, I'd be up all night working on it. I'd be up at 3 a.m. working on it. But I mean, yeah, you get it done. Weird.
Yeah. Like, and the job, the career I ultimately ended up retiring from, you know, coming from that background, I was able, I'm not knocking people that I worked with, but, you know, just being trained the way I was trained, I could knock things out and do them well in 2 hours. And these were things that took other people 2 hours to or 2 days to do.
Yep.
Just because of the way that they were trained, you know, and it's in one way, it's bad that it that kind of workflow that I had carried over. But at the same time, it was actually my strength throughout my career that I could jam, you know.
Well, I realized I had this superpower, we'll call it. I was running a 5K this one Saturday morning, and I had a friend of mine who was real competitive with me, and we were talking shit at work the whole, you know, week leading up to this race, who was going to beat whom. So Friday night, I was out drinking in the local bars in Buffalo till like 1 a.m. and I did a shot with a buddy of mine at 1, and he just grabs me. He's like, "You better kick the so and so's ass tomorrow." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I will." So I show up to the race, still reeking of alcohol at like 8 a.m. and I beat him. And that's when I realized I could fuck off as much as I wanted as long as I got my work done.
So let me tell you when you can't get away with fucking off and procrastination. When fucking 7 feet of snow falls where you live, you got to get out in the morning as the storm is hitting and get ahead of that fucking snow, because I didn't do that this weekend. And, you know, 7 feet of snow fell where I lived.
I mean, you could have shoveled a bunch of it in the early hours, right?
Yeah. And I didn't do that, you know, and then I went out and my snow blower broke within 3 minutes using it. And by then, the snow at that point was about four feet high, and I couldn't. I was out shoveling for 2 hours. I didn't make a dent in it, and
that's awful.
And it just kept getting worse. And I had about 7 feet of snow. Well, I do now, but yesterday I had about 5.5 feet, and I ended up. There was a guy driving around in our neighborhood, and what I've learned is a skid steer, which to me I thought was a backhoe, but it's a looks like a little tractor or whatever. And I paid him $250 to clear my fucking driveway because it was so bad. The plow trucks could not move the snow because number one, there was nowhere for them to put it. But number two, the snow was so heavy and there was so much of it. And it, the snow that fell earlier that was underneath the piles was pure ice.
Uh-huh.
So if you didn't have equipment here that actually could pick the snow up, it was ineffective. So there is so much snow here where I live.
I can't. Do you have power? Well, you obviously have power, right? You're talking.
I have power, but you know the snow falls so weird in Buffalo. I have 7 feet. I live outside the city, in the south of the city. I have 7 feet. Buffalo has maybe a foot. Your mom, who's about 7 miles away, has about 4 feet.
Yep.
Last I read. So, yeah, it's fucking crazy.
But what's funny to me, you know, growing up Buffalo, you know, we don't know what the world's like. And, you know, even though I think you and I both delivered the Buffalo news, it's not like there wasn't this 24-hour news cycle where you knew what the fuck was going on in the world. You know, you barely knew what was going on in Cheektowaga, right, when you lived in West Seneca.
Yeah.
I mean, I just thought the whole world was the same way. So, I mean, right? I mean, I don't know. I always had fond memories of the snow, but like, you know, this blizzard. So, I mean, you lived through the blizzard of 77,
yeah,
right? And I distinctly remember delivering papers through that. We had neighbors too. Check it out. We didn't get newspapers for 4 days during that blizzard of 77. And I was fucking 9 years old. So were you, I think.
Yeah.
And I just remember when the plow, you know, Rose got plowed. They brought us four days worth of newspapers. And just expected us to deliver them. And there was like Sunday papers included. So, I mean, and my brother and I delivered like 100 and some newspapers every day. So we literally had maybe 1,000 newspapers now that we had to go deliver to all these fucking people. And, you know, we had like one of those red toboggan sled things.
Yeah.
And we delivered them. We decided to just stick together because it was so fucked up. But I mean, here's like an 11-year-old kid and a 9-year-old kid delivering 1,000 newspapers. And we delivered to our street and on Seneca Street, like all the way down, like probably a mile down the road. And this is a main road, folks. So, you know, and we got so many calls to our fucking house from asshole neighbors going, "Where's our paper? Our paper has snow on it." You know, I just remember that. Like, that had to be my first stint in customer service going, "What the fuck is wrong with people?"
Man. Yeah. it's funny, you know, when these storms hit, everyone stays to themselves nowadays, you know, but it's funny is when you get 7 feet of snow, that's when you see your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, for some reason in Buffalo, everybody comes out during a blizzard, you know?
Yeah. Especially the old people. They got to walk with their little shopping carts.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you can't drive anywhere here. So there's a supermarket outside of my neighborhood, probably about a half mile away on South Park, which is a busy road. But everyone's trekking to the supermarket and they have to go by my house. So I'm seeing everyone as I'm shoveling out. And it's funny. I would see them walk toward the store and then like an hour later, they'll be coming back. Every single one of them coming back with cases of beer. It's all they're buying.
That's all you really need, huh?
Yeah. And everyone's just hunkering down and just fucking drinking. Everyone's just drinking.
All my family, you know, I have like a family group text that we are all on. And about half of my 11 siblings live still in the Buffalo area. So there was pictures of all them stacking up their beer cans, their Molson Light. That was their metric to see how much snow they had in their yards. Like, oh, I have 8 beers high.
Yeah. The snow in Orchard Park is something like 13 Genesee beer cans high.
I have not had a Genesee beer. I don't even think I had one the last time I came to Buffalo. I might have. I can't remember now. But my one brother still drinks it all the time.
Oh, I always drink it when I go to Adolph's in the First Ward.
Is it better on tap, or do you get a bottle?
I get bottles.
Good man. But, good man.
It's, you know, things are getting serious here. There's roofs are collapsing now. The roof just collapsed on the bowling alley in the village I live in. And, you know, in Buffalo, when a roof collapses on a bowling alley, it's like a roof collapsing on a church, you know.
Like
and,
a devil getting his wings, yeah.
And then the bar, I was going to walk down to the local bar 2 streets away from me last night. And my niece dates one of the owners there. And I got a text that said, don't bother coming. They had to evacuate because the building next door, the roof collapsed. So shit's starting to get a little bit scary here.
People don't understand how wet snow is just a fucking nightmare, right?
Yeah. It's heavy, man. It's heavy.
I mean, you get a warm spell and then it gets cold again. You get like those ice storms and it just snaps all the trees and the power lines and shit.
Well, we had thunder snow here. This is the weirdest weather system.
What was that? I saw something about that.
It was scary at times. I don't really understand it, but it just has to do with, you know, the mixture of the environment and the temperature and, you know, the lake. And I live near the lake. So, you know, you had like a thunderstorm as the snow fell, and the booms here were very loud, and I don't know. When it started, it just felt apocalyptic. You know, my daughter was stranded in Philadelphia because she was working in Delaware, and they canceled all the flights.
Yeah.
So she decided to rent a SUV, and she drove from Philadelphia back to Buffalo, and she got on the road at 2:00 and the storm was supposed to hit here at 7:30. And she made it all the way. She lives in Buffalo. She made it all the way to from Philadelphia to East Aurora, and which is like 15 miles from her house. And all of a sudden she just hit a wall of whiteout conditions and heavy snow. I'm always fascinated by how they can time or, you know, predict what time the snow is supposed to hit, the storm is supposed to hit. It hit exactly when they said, you know, it would here. So she had to pull off, and she was holed up in a hotel in East Aurora for 2 days. You know, she made it all the way from Philadelphia, and she finally had to pull off 15 miles from her house.
It's crazy, but at least you can get stuck on the fucking highway, you know?
Yeah, that's what I was freaking out about, you know? I freak out about shit like that. She kept calling me at work saying, what should I do? And I was like, I didn't want to be the one to make the decision, so I just kept saying, call your mother.
Nice. I know how to lead things off on my wife, too.
I know how to lead.
I'll tell you, one time when I lived in California, I was in a ski house up in Lake Tahoe, right? And there's really just one way in from Sacramento. It's Highway 80. You have to go through, you know, you have to go through the mountains. You have to go through Donner Summit, where the Donner Party all, you know, got stuck and cannibalism was introduced to the American frontier. But I get to my ski house, and there was a bunch of my friends coming, a few, you know, maybe an hour behind us. The California Highway Patrol closed off Highway 80. They sat in their car on the highway for about 14 hours. And there were just hundreds, I don't know how many cars, just sitting there. And we made it through with about 20 minutes to spare. And I'll tell you, I went to a bar in Lake Tahoe and got hammered. And we kept texting them like stupid pictures and messages of all the fun we were having.
Yeah. I got to tell you, though, you know, I mean,
terrible.
You live in the South. You know, there's hurricanes. You live in California. There's earthquakes and, you know, fires and, you know, towns burning down, and Midwest has tornadoes. And I would much rather deal with blizzards, and, you know, nor'easters. They're a pain in the ass. But you figure you get three a year here, and it's 2 days of inconvenience. It's 6 days. Shit's not really destroyed, you know, and I don't know. I know you're more inland there in North Carolina, but like when I was a journalist, I covered a Category 5 hurricane.
Huh.
Hurricane Andrew back in the 90s. I mean, there was nothing left standing. People lost, communities lost everything, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. Blizzards are a pain in the ass, but I don't know. I think they're the least evil out of all the storm systems.
Well, you know, pick your poison, I guess. I just remember being a kid. Snow was probably the best. I mean, it was the best part of a lot of parts. You know, like if I had to rank top 10 things cool about living in Buffalo as a child, you know, the fact that it snowed a ton was one of my favorite things. You know, yeah. I mean, in preparing for this talk, I started thinking about all the fun shit I used to do. Like, we used to be able to ice skate outside, which, okay, you can do that in Maine. You can do it in a lot of places. But, I mean, just like, I don't know if it's indicative to Buffalo or specific to Buffalo, but, you know, we always found ways to make things, you know, add an element of danger, right? And I remember going out with some friends of ours, the Diebolds. Hope I name dropping is not going to get them mad at me, but I would go to their house, and then we would go on a street somewhere in South Buffalo and just throw snowballs at cars, specifically waiting for some asshole tough guy to get out and chase us. And then we'd throw snowballs at him.
I remember that.
Like, but we used to do that all the time, and specifically so we would get chased. And I mean, my brother got caught one time, and the guy beat him up, and then my dad was going to beat the guy up. There's like a whole nightmare scenario about it. Like, none of that shit. I don't know. Like, to me, that was like some of the funnest stuff ever.
I wonder
if kids even have that kind of fun anymore.
You know, I live in like a neighborhood that has about 10,000 fucking kids. Uh-huh. So I do see that here, but in other places I lived, I have not seen that kind of, well, more active, more kids, a lot of kids, you know, they're playing video games and stuff like that now, you know. Kids still love the snow. I know that from my own kids. I know that from now people I know who have young kids. They still love to get out in the snow, but, you know, add into when you and I were kids that our parents didn't let us play in the house to begin with. We had to be outside all day.
Yeah.
So of course we were doing shit like that. I used to love skitching. You remember that?
That was scary.
That was shit you should not be doing, but I loved doing that. You know, you stand at the corner, car's turning, you run behind it, grab onto its bumper and let it pull you down the street.
You know, and I had like those green rubber boots that everybody had. Those things were amazing for that activity.
I was jealous of all the kids who had those green rubber boots. For some reason, my mother would never buy me those.
Ugh.
And she used to buy me the black rubber boots instead. But the green ones
To talking me, about the black ones that you had to wear the red bags inside.
Yeah, put the baggies on your feet, on your shoes. Yeah.
I had those but too.
Everyone, the people who had the green rubber boots, to me, that was like a status symbol. It was like not so much of wealth, but like of coolness. And my mom, I used to beg my mother for those green rubber boots. She never, ever bought them for me.
That's weird. I also, at one point, I got a pair of moon boots that were silver. So I used to pretend like I was in Kiss. I used to pretend I was like a little Gene Simmons. But those were also pretty decent for the old skitching. But, yeah, we all did it off a school bus one time. And the fucking thing, I think the driver knew we were there and he hit the brakes. So we all went like flying. I hit my head into the back bumper.
What a sadist. That's a way to kill a kid. If you do that.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck.
That was one of the best things about getting off the school bus. I could remember getting off the school bus, throwing my books in the snow and grabbing onto the back of the bus and letting it pull it down the street. I could remember like parents warning kids like, you know, you're going to fall underneath the moving vehicle and get run over. And I never saw or heard any kid having that, you know, happen to. And now when I think about it, the physics of that, how would that even work anyway? It was bullshit.
Well, I was always worried, like, cause I had friends, I remember going to the ice skating rink and I had a buddy who did it, but I was too chicken, but he right on Union Road, that big main road. You know, he starts doing it and he was just gone. And then I'm like, well, then like a car was following the car he was skitching on. I'm like, so if he lets go, he's going to get run over by the car behind him. And it didn't happen, but that's where my sense of, you know, protecting myself, right? Self-preservation kicked in. Thank God. Cause I just like, that's too past my limit, so to speak. But I don't know. My parents never knew we did any of this shit. Those poor, you know, the other thing, my diabolical brother was really good with just ramping up the evil. But we made a bunch of snowballs one time. We poured water on them and packed them really hard and stuck them in our freezer. We had one, you know, everyone has like one of those giant freezers in their basement for the 5,000 pounds of meat.
Oh, yeah. I remember my parents used to buy a half a cow.
Yeah, my dad did that, too. Like, we put, like, 20 snowballs in there, and then we would take them with us when we went to deliver newspapers and keep them in our paper bags. And then when we got done, we would throw them. We would hide behind this one thing and just fire these ice balls at cars. And I'm pretty sure we broke some windshields because they were solid ice and we would just throw them like fucking hand grenades or something. What idiots.
You know, my dad during one winter in Buffalo, he actually ran over a kid on my street. He was a friend of mine, but what the kid was doing was, you know how there used to be long, long strips of ice that would build up on the side of the street. And you would like, I could remember being a kid and running and sliding on them.
Yeah.
Well, this kid was doing that. But what happened was my father was driving down the street and this kid was running the other way toward my dad's car, sliding on the ice, and he ended up sliding on the ice and it took him out into the middle of the street right when my father went by. The kid went underneath the car. I was really, really young. But I guess it was a bad scene. And I heard stories that my father just like, it happened in front of the kid's house. And my father knew what kid it was. And I guess my father got out of the car, ran as fast as he could, barged into the people's home, called the authorities, ambulance, etc. You know, and the kid was in the hospital for like 4 months, but
wow,
ended up living and I ended up becoming friends with him. And he, you know, things turned out, but kid had a broken jaw and like head injuries and shit like that. So, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, shit's dangerous, you know? Kids don't realize, you know, going back to like sketching, you don't realize the danger, you know? Kids think they're invincible and, but
yeah, I remember going to like Chestnut Ridge. We had an inner tube, and I remember me and I threw all my little brothers on the inner tube, and we're going down the snow hill, which those things can fly too. Anyway, I remember just hitting some kid, and they would go flying in the air.
Yeah, oh yeah, I bet that place is going to be packed for the next couple of weeks with all this snow. And it's always worth going over there and watching the kids go down the hill, because inevitably they're smashing kids who are already at the bottom. And the kids go flying. The kids, they just go.
I mean, the inner tube just was so great because it's so bouncy to begin with. And, you know, they just don't get out of the way fast enough. You can't steer an inner tube. That's the problem.
Yeah. And then you have, there's people, who are dying now during this storm because they're having heart attacks in their driveway. There's been like five already. I haven't seen today's body count yet, but it's just such a fucked up. It's just so fucked up.
You know, these people who are so sedentary go out and it's like they're basically running a marathon with that shovel.
Yeah, you know? your heart rate. I forget what I was watching. I saw something that showed like just how much the cold air and the exertion of shoveling, what it does to your heart rate. And it literally makes it skyrocket. And,
oh yeah, Pat.
You know, I'm not sedentary at all. You know, as a matter of fact, the trainer I work with, I wear a monitor during all my workouts. And so I could see my heart rate.
Yep.
And where my heart rate is now compared to when I started working with this guy, it's like just dramatically improved. Right on. But I mean, I was exhausted and I could feel my heart rate like increase when I was out there, especially during the heaviest periods.
Oh yeah.
So you're right. These people that do nothing and then they go out and, man, this is a recipe for disaster.
You just got to pace yourself. You know, you shovel it a little bit at a time. Don't get too crazy. You know, don't do it more than like a half hour to an hour. You think about it. Most people, even fit people, they go to the gym. They're working out for an hour at the most. You know, I'd say by and large, right?
Yeah.
People go out there 3 hours shoveling a fucking driveway and then they collapse. What do they think is going to happen?
But a lot of people too, when you get this much snow, they try to shovel from the bottom. Like you're probably lifting 100 pounds, you know.
Now when it's all wet, man, that's fucked up.
You gotta like, if you're attacking a pile, you gotta like start at the top. You gotta shovel 3 or 4 layers before you get to the bottom, or else you're gonna kill yourself.
Well, here's another trick. Spray your shovel with WD-40. It doesn't stick. Like, especially if you have that light, fluffy, weird crap at the top and you're trying to just like pick it off and flick it. Because there's nothing worse than snow sticking to your shovel when you're trying to shovel.
That was happening all day yesterday. That's a good tip. I'm going to try it. I don't know if I have WD-40. I should. Everybody should, because it's a magical substance. But you think Pam would work?
I don't know.
Shit you spray on your pans?
Cook your eggs on it. Remember those old metal discs? Sleds? We had a bunch of those.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I think we used to spray Pam on them.
And then the toboggans? My mom would,
like, freak out. Yeah. They call it had a toboggan down here in North Carolina. Put your toboggan on. Like, why would you wear a sled on top of your head?
Well, anyway,
getting off topic.
So I know that the snow plows have plowed my driveway in again.
So. I can't believe you had to pay $250. I'm still like reeling from that.
Fuck. It. If I didn't get this guy, I'd be stuck in my driveway until Wednesday. And it's not that big a deal for me. I don't really have anywhere to be, but my wife has a real job and she's got to get the fuck out of the house.
Yeah.
You know,
but
so
I mean, it's Buffalo. That's the one thing that you can count on that city and their workers doing is clearing those fucking roads, man. Ever since the late, great Jimmy Griffin mayor, that man knew how to run a city.
You know, that guy's legend exceeds the reality. He's a legendary mayor in Buffalo, and you know, the guy was just so irascible and so, you know, he had the Buffalo attitude, which made him popular. But you know, you think about the tenure he was in office, the economy here fucking sucked. The city was like going down, but you know, he told people during one of the blizzards to stay home with a six pack. So people fucking loved him because he said that. And that, you know, he said that 40 years ago, and people, I can't tell you how many times during this blizzard people have brought that statement up. You know,
I remember finding that a few years ago and sharing it with my in-laws. They're from Washington, D.C., and they were aghast.
My parents used to have this. There was a book that came out, and it was just a book of like quotes from Jimmy Griffin, who was in office for like 12 years, you know, and he was at war with everybody. He would just say the worst shit, but everyone thought it was like, oh my god, what a character he is, and they made a book out of it. And it had a picture of him on the front cover with his dukes up, you know, I read the book recently because it's still like laying around. It was handed down throughout the family. And I'm just like, this guy was such an ignorant fuck. It's a way to get reelected in Buffalo. Just say the most. Well, you know, I mean, even now today, we're not.
I mean, I remember, you know, you just talk like you hear about Boston being segregated and some of these other towns, but Buffalo was a pretty segregated city too, wasn't it, back in the day?
It still is. It's incredibly segregated, and I always refer to Buffalo as Boston without the glitz. You know, I mean, Buffalo's segregated and still has this a pretty healthy dose of racism, and you know.
But I mean, you juxtapose that with like the coolness of the cultural variety, right? I mean, I remember going to the Italian festival and just, you know, enjoying the food. And
yeah, it's a very diverse city, extremely diverse. And but it's weird. The juxtaposition, you're right, of the diversity here, and cultures are celebrated, but yet it's just mad. There's a lot of segregation still.
Yeah, I guess, you know, my rose-colored glasses to me growing up, because, like, you think about, I mean, even in our high school, I never really met any black people. I knew they existed. Yeah. I'd seen some. But, I mean, our high school was all white. But, I mean, I just don't remember, like, hatred. Like, when I moved to North Carolina, I would hear some things from white people that would shock me. Yeah. And I'd be like, you can't really think like that. Like, it's one thing for me to say, oh, you're a Polack, or you shanty Irishman, or whatever. Yeah. But like, then you hear some of these other comments and you're like, that's not funny. That's not a joke. That's not just like making fun, you know, oh, look at my boots. They're Puerto Rican fence climbers. Ha ha ha. We're all just laughing. You know, that kind of racism, I didn't think. I mean, I did not see it in Buffalo growing up. I didn't go looking for it, but it definitely didn't land on my front door either. you know.
Well, there was a lot of you know, ignorance. My parents, they came from they were Depression era, and they weren't hateful people, but they had that ignorance. So I think about some of the things they would say, and it didn't come from a place of hate, but it came from a total place of ignorance, you know. But
that to me was more like cultural prejudice, which is more to me like, it's like me and you going to Europe and eating at McDonald's because we don't want to go to the stupid French restaurant, even though we're in Paris. We're like, let's just go to McDonald's because we know what the food like is like there. Again, I'm putting rose colored glasses on, but I did that in Ireland because I didn't think the food was all that great. And my sister and I went to McDonald's. And just to let people know, the McDonald's there sucked. And they gave us like a ham sandwich, which was really awful. It was not. but
it's like going that's like going to Italy and going to an Outback steakhouse.
Going to Pizzeria Uno.
Going to Mexico and going to a Mighty Taco.
I went to Italy and we went to the Olive Garden. It was really good.
Oh man.
I mean, but like, it was just, to me, it just didn't seem, everyone's so quick to cry racism. And again, this is way off topic, so I'll close early here, but I didn't think I think it gets a black eye for that. I think people like their own cultures, but I also think they like mixing it. But you just have people that are just proud of their own heritage more than they hate, go around hating other people. I'd like to think that anyway.
the most obnoxious fucking people in Buffalo are the Irish.
Of course. You still loathing Irishmen.
Shut the fuck up. You had nothing to do with your heritage. You were just born into it. I mean, you be proud of your accomplishments, not the fact that, Jesus. Everybody go to
Ireland and start telling them like, well, I'm Irish too. They'll start making fun of you. Oh, you're a plastic patty.
Everyone plays up their Irishness here.
Reminds me of an Onion article, man drunk on St. Patrick's Day bragging about his 1/16th Irish heritage. Oh, and we neglected to talk about Mr. Plow. We never, we usually have to bring up The Simpsons. What happened there?
Well, let's end it with Mr. Plow.
Yeah, one of my favorite Simpsons episodes is Homer becoming Mr. Plow, only to get one-upped by Barney and the Plow King.
Barney, I love when they take Barney out of the bar and work him into stories.
Remember the one where Barney was smart until he found booze?
Yeah, that was one. That's one of my favorite episodes.
Awesome. Well, I think we can finish today because you have to go shovel snow and I have to go do something else.
I hope it's snow and not ice, man.
Good luck, brother. Enjoy it.
If that plow comes by while I'm shoveling, I'm going to throw my shovel at it.
That's a good thing to do because he's going to just push more snow right into your fucking driveway after you get done shoveling.
I know he is.
Always a good move.
All right, brother. Stay free.
Take care. Stay free. Bye. Bye.